Liquid Books, Budapest's weekly English language cultural magazine.
Hello, thank you very much. I'm very happy to have this opportunity, have this cultural show that to attend, to participate in.
It's our pleasure. Could you please tell us first a little bit about yourself?
Oh, about myself. Actually, I come from Australia. I have actually lived in four continents of the world, and I have traveled extensively around the world. And I'm very interested in spiritual matters, and I have some studies on that. Studies, I mean, reading mostly. So, also we are happy that today I think we are going to talk about the subject is about the higher realms.
Yes. When you say higher realms, you mean other world, future world for people after they die?
What I mean that actually we first understand that there are higher realms beyond this physical world. That's the main thing. And what is the nature of the higher realms and what will happen to the souls that depart and leave this physical world?
There are many people today who would deny the existence.
Yes, it could be because they have no comprehension of the higher realms. So it doesn't necessarily mean they have discovered something that there is no higher realms. It was a time that the philosophers of the world thought that the whole universe, the whole cosmos, the whole world of creation was this, the earth and certain number of the stars and the sun. So that was the whole world, they think the whole universe is that. But today it has been proven that there are galaxies, and each galaxy has millions of stars, and some of the stars are million times bigger than our planet and even bigger than our sun. So this shows, in the old time, the limit of their mind. But today it has been proven that this universe has no frontier, it has no end, it's limitless. And this is what have been pictured. And still there belief that there might be galaxies that have not been discovered yet. So you can compare this, if that time somebody told to the philosophers that the whole universe is not just these stars that you see, or the sun, and they thought even the earth is the center of the universe. So now it has been proven that this our planet is not at the center of the universe, it's in at one corner. And also it is very tiny spot in the whole universe. So if the people deny the higher realms, they have no proof to deny it. They couldn't comprehend it. But this lack of comprehension necessarily doesn't mean such realms doesn't exist. And this is the limit of their own thinking and understanding, as all philosophers are the limit of their understanding of the universe.
But if there is such a higher realm, wouldn't it be reasonable that people would know about it?
You know, when the baby is in the womb of the mother and they have no idea of this world, when they are born into this world, they see, oh, that's very much vaster world exists, and they can see the shining the sun and the radiant moon and the verdant trees and the waves of the sea and the beauty of the nature, and it's completely different and very vast in comparison with the world of in the womb of the mother. So the same way, the people do not understand that mysteries of the higher realms until to enter into that realm. Then they discover that in comparison to the next world, this world is like a leaf and the next world is like a garden, so much higher than this. And actually, this world is a shadow of the higher realms, the kingdom of God. It means that this world, what really exists is the higher realm, and this is a shadow of it, and this shadow is very changing and transient and it's not permanent. So that is this world is a reflection of the higher realms.
Is it possible to see, even just for a moment, a higher realm?
From the Baha'i point of view, it is possible to see a glimpse of higher realms, but it's not common. It means that everybody, if even they decide to see a glimpse of higher realms, it doesn't necessarily mean they can do that, because this is based on some conditions of the soul, they can see the higher realms. So, for example, the higher realms always exist, but there is a veil between us and the higher realms. For example, when the sun is always shining, but when there are clouds, you cannot see the sun. As soon as the clouds cleared, then the sun is there, you can see it. So if the soul of man is purified from all the defilement of the worldly things, and his inner eye will be open, he suddenly see the higher realms is there. It doesn't mean that he goes there, he can see it, because like the sky is cleared, you can see suddenly the sun when it is clear. So this depends on conditions. The condition is purification of the soul and some spiritual development, and sometimes to tread some mystic path until to get and reach that stage that one can see it. But it is not common, but it is possible. And even in Baha'i writing, it says that when the soul is purified from the defilement of worldly things and also very spiritually developed and very detached from these worldly things, and suddenly see a glimpse of realm of light and bliss, he said that what you see that moment, exactly that is a glimpse of higher realms.
There is an emerging body of literature in the scientific realm, in the medical realm, just in the last two generations, really, since the 1960s, about near-death experiences. And there's a lot of uniformity in the descriptions of people who have had these experiences in terms of what they see and what they have experienced. Is this related to the relation that we have to a higher realm? Are they seeing a glimpse of a higher realm?
Yes, it is very interesting that some people had approached and interviewed the people have this near-death experience. And you know that some people had accident, car accident, or any other thing that actually it was declared they are dead, but suddenly they came back and they have some experience of the higher realms. And the author of the book, Life After Life, he collected all this information, classified them. And it was very interesting that more or less all of them have similar experience. It means they could see a realm of light. And also they say that some of them then came back to this world because doctor tried to bring them back, or some people prayed for they come back. Some of them were not happy to come back because they saw that the heart is so beautiful, so blissful, and so full of light and joy and happiness that they protested, why you brought us back to this existence? Because all the problems that we have is material world, related to the physical things. Because, for example, we are sick, or we are unemployed, we have no shelter, or even somebody dies, is this something physical? Because we don't see the physical form of the person has disappeared. But doesn't mean the person has died totally, it still exists. So that is it's very similar to Baha'i writings in one sense. Also, in the Baha'i writing says that when you are with your dead, you can see the whole your life in one moment. You can see what type of life you had. And if you have a good life, you feel a great joy. If not a good life, then you will be very sad, cannot be described how much. You will be fearful, your horror, you can see. Because that's moment you can see. And also, very interesting that those who have the near-death experience, they say the same thing. As if like a video of their life was displayed, and suddenly the whole life they had, they could see within some very short time, and what type of life it is. It means they show them something, say, this is your life, how you have lived. So that is also very close to the Baha'i writing says. And when I was reading this book, I was very surprised because so similarity I could see that research with the Baha'i writing that it came to my mind maybe the author has already read the Baha'i writings and he knew what's going on. And then he had this interview when he categorized was so close and similar to the Baha'i writings that it says that when the person dies at that moment, suddenly the whole life they understand how they did live. And if they want to change it, they cannot do it because it's too late. And many people at that moment feel that they have wasted their life. They could have another course of life. So that is, most of the people are not aware that the life on this earth is short, but at the same time, it is very significant. It means it is the basis of the higher realms. So which way you go, for example, if you go like a road, you go which this way or the other way. So that will be the station is here. So which way to go. So this is very important that people should be aware of the higher realms. That is the reason the prophets come and tell us what to do. Because there is a border. Human mind cannot go beyond that border. Because human mind has a limit, cannot go beyond that. So the prophets passed that border and came back and report us back what is the higher realms and how you should be prepared for the higher realms. So that is the reason that significance of the message of the prophets and their words that they want to guide us to prepare for the higher realms because the real life is after the death. Because this life is like a dream when you die, you just as if you wake up from a dream. So that is the real life start. So many people, they say, as they write that the person went to eternal sleep. That is absolutely the opposite. That's wrong. They write on the top of the grave, he died, he went, fall in this eternal sleep. It is the opposite, eternal awakeness.
Let's take a short musical break.
Thank you.
talking with Mr. Jamshid Fanayan about higher realms. And in the first part of our discussion, one thing which came to light was that now, in today's world, the findings of science and the findings of religion are beginning to converge. And this is great news, because it is further evidence, one, that the spiritual writings are right and can be verified, and also that there is a beginning of a healing process, perhaps, in the world when this scientific materialistic viewpoint and this spiritual viewpoint can be shown to be showing the same underlying reality. Still, there are a lot of people who don't have good information about higher realms, and so let me ask you some questions. For example, how do you compare this world to the next world? What are the characteristics of the higher realm?
This world is, you know, we have very limitness. It means we are tied up with the physical things, and because there's, as I mentioned, that all the problems we have, all the sufferings, agonies, is a physical and material thing. Because spiritual realms is a world of joy and bliss and happiness. This is number one, the difference. And if we look at all the anxiety we have, or the problems, or sufferings, are all material and related to the physical world. But the spiritual realm is full of joy. And secondly, as I said, that this world is a reflection of the higher realms. In what exists actually these higher realms? This is a shadow of the higher realms. So that's the higher realms much vaster and higher than this. And also, in comparison, this world to the next world, this world is like a leaf, and the next world is like a garden. You know, I say this because not only the Baha'i writings there are some explanations about this, but also my grandfather was a mystic, and also he composed many poetry. But he has some glimpse of the higher realms. He has seen the higher realms. And then he says that this world compared to the next world is like a leaf compared to the garden. And all the beauty is there, and joy is there.
Do people recognize each other in the next world?
Yes, in the Baha'i writing it says that the people who depart from this world, they preserve three things: their identity, their consciousness, and their understanding. But only we should bear in mind that identity, when we say, it doesn't necessarily mean that usually the card of identity we have, what is your name, where you have been born, or what is your schooling, something like that. No, identity means the reality of the human being. That reality will be there. And secondly, they are quite conscious. They have the consciousness and also understanding. And the next world, the people recognize each other. They recognize each other. And especially if the wife and husband has a real love to each other, they continue this partnership in the next world. Because the guarantee is the real love. That love, which is for something spiritual, and also the next world is a spiritual realm, so in that case, they can continue this. But the people will not be at the same level. It means those who are spiritual, very spiritually developed, will be higher realm, and then the second lower realm and realm. So there are different levels of existence, and those who are the same level of spirituality, they can see each other quite well. But those who are higher, they can come down, but not those lower can go up. That's only the difference. So they can recognize each other and be happy together. And actually, in the Baha'i writing, it says that there is no distance between this world and the next world. Only there is a veil. You cannot see beyond the veil. If this veil will be removed, then you can see glimpse of higher realms. So this one thing which is very new in the Baha'i writings, and there is no distance between this world and the second world. And the second point is that they said, the Baha'i said, the next world is in this world, but you cannot see it just because there's a veil.
Almost all of the world's religions believe in the existence of this next world. So I suppose what you're describing now are some contributions that the Baha'i faith has added to our understanding of this next world. For example, Tibetan Buddhism has a very technical understanding of the stages just after death, which a soul must navigate to find its permanent place in the next world. And this also seems to be supported by near-death experiences and so on. So what you're telling us is real news, because this is the contribution that the Baha'i faith is making to this picture. Can you tell us any more about the Baha'i conception?
You know that the followers of all religions believe that there is another world anyhow. And it seems that only the concept is two worlds, this world, next world. So it means only two worlds and face to face. But the Baha'i writing, it tells us, is not only one next world. There are world, open world, and realm after realm, no end. So it means endless, the whole, this creation. Okay, we have come to the conclusion from the scientific point of view that this physical world has no end, no frontier, no limit. So how is it possible the spiritual realms have any limit? So that is this is something Baha'i writings tells us, that there are realm after realm and world upon world and continuous and limitless. This is for the first time it was introduced, adding to the clarification of the higher realms. And the second point that Baha'u'llah, the prophet founder of the Baha'i faith, explained, that he said that the whole universe or the whole cosmos is one, not two. For example, we say, usually the concept is this world, next world, something opposite of each other. But he says that the whole world of being is one world, but there are levels. Every higher levels is a metaphysical world compared to the lower one. At the same time, he said that the people in the next world, they go, become, when the soul becomes finer and finer, they go higher and higher. So it depends on the purity and the fineness of the soul. You go a level higher than that. And even it says that it is possible, when we are still tied up with the physical world, to go a higher realm, another world, enter it. That is the second birth. It means that we can die from the animal qualities and born into spiritual qualities. When we born into spiritual qualities, actually we are entering a new world, because before, for example, being born from mother, we have no idea of this world. We don't know this world. There are sun, stars, moon, trees, beauty, ocean, music, everything. But the same way, when we enter into the second birth we have, we enter in another world, we can see something we never saw it before. Means we obtain an inner eye. We can see we never saw. We obtain inner ear. We hear something that we never heard before. So the mysteries of God will be disclosed before our eyes. The kingdom of God, we can see it. So that is it is also even possible. I didn't mean that everybody can go to that world, but it's possible, even still we are in the physical world, to get to enter into a new level of existence. So the next world is like that. Baha'u'llah says that when the soul purify one stage go higher, and then one stage go higher. That is, every stage, every level is a new world.
Is this consistent with the materialistic view of the world, the Baha'i world view?
You know, materialistic view, they have, you know, even the philosophers, materialistic philosophers, still they couldn't understand totally this physical world. So this philosophy means is not in contrast with the other one. Means materialistic is a level of understanding, which is the level of physical world. So this philosophy is not another way of understanding. It's higher than that one. Because when we have a spiritual view and we understand their higher realms, it doesn't mean we deny the existence of physical world. We accept our physical world, we accept that the quality of this physical world, but one step higher than that, that is you have the concept of the higher realms. So there are not two ways of thinking, but rather the further understanding, to take a further step towards understanding the whole cosmos and this universe. They are limiting the whole cosmos to the physical world and material world. This also indicate the limit of their mind. As I said, that it was a time that people thought that the whole universe was just this earth and this sun and a few stars. This showed the limit of their mind. But today it has been proven that there are limitless stars, and the whole universe, even physical world, has no frontier.
Are there proofs of a higher realm as well?
You know, actually, human nature is in a way that it has been ingrained in him, the immortality of the soul. It means he feels that he doesn't perish totally, even he dies. But he cannot understand it. He cannot explain the nature of higher realms. So because of this, from the time immemorial before, always the people thought that when the people die, they don't really die in the sense of totally be perished. Because of this, for example, it was a time the people thought that when their father, great grandfathers and their ancestors, if they have died, they still live in somewhere in the jungle, for example. Or some of them thought that when the person died, they come back and they put some food for them to eat. So it may be very primitive idea, may not be exactly true, but it indicates that they knew that this person has not been perished, still exists. So Jung, one of the great philosophers of the modern age, he says that this sense of immortality of the soul, that human being is immortal, is ingrained in his soul. But he doesn't know only the nature of that. He said that some of the people, patients come to us, they have this sense of immortality has been a little shaken. So they come back and then we fix it. So they go back to that sense that he is immortal. So all we live, we never think that we will be totally perished. That is a terrible sense we always feel we always live. And that is the reason we do not think about our death. Because of that sense, we have immortality of the soul. So that nobody always thinking that he's going to die. We always think that we live forever. And that is the reason that we collect some money and we do so many things, because we think we live forever. We never think that our life will be short and maybe shorter than we think. And because that sense of immortality exists, they don't feel that they may die. So the human being does not perish totally. Just this is another stage of development. Only the he depart the physical form and enter into the spiritual realms. Actually, the human beings, the highest apex of the physical world, because we have the mineral kingdom, and then we go to the level of the plant kingdom, and then animal kingdom, and then human kingdom. So each kingdom you go higher, you have all the qualities of the lower kingdom and something new adding to it, until to go to human being. Human being, the physically, he is the highest, the apex of the physical world, but beginning of the spiritual world. That is the reason that his attraction to the physical world is too strong. That is the reason that he cannot break the chains connecting him to the physical world. That is the reason that prophets come to help him, to take him by hand, that he will be able to break that and to go to prepare himself for the future world.
Let's take a short break. seems like there are a lot of philosophers through the ages who have spoken about these issues, and there have also been prophets, manifestations of the great religions. What's the difference between the philosophical approach to this subject and the mystical approach to this subject?
For example, about God, almost all the high-ranking philosophers believe the existence of God. So some of them even try to prove it. But the prophet saw God. That's the difference. So this is two approach. One, you approach it from mind, that you can prove there is God, and also you can prove that this whole cosmos and universe is unlimited, and there are realms beyond this physical realm. But the prophet, they could see it, and also it's possible the people will be very spiritually developed, also can see a glimpse of the higher realms. So, for example, about God, I said there are three levels of approaching God. One is knowledge of God. Means we know God exists, so we can prove, we can, that's some of the philosophers did. Another is the vision of God. You can see face the face of God. And that is very mystic. And the higher than that is to be united with God, union, reunion with God. So there are three levels of approaching God. So there is a possibility to see the face of God. For example, in the Baha'i writings, it says that the highest goal and aim of a believer is that to be able to see the face of God and to enter his presence. So it is something exists that they say that you should try to get to that level to be able to see the face of God and to enter his presence. So this highest level or goal of a Baha'i to reach that stage may not be common, but it is possible.
This then would bring up the question, how can we prepare for such an event? So presumably religious teachings, as you're describing it, are not just purely for the purpose of ethics or morals in some abstract sense, but they're actually preparing us for the progression of our soul and to enter the higher realms. How can we prepare for this?
I would like to say, first of all, about religion itself, because the word religion is very controversial today, and because many people have seen many things negative negativity from religion, so a little bit it is a question for them. But from the Baha'i point of view, we say that there are progressive revelations of God, but religion can lose its soul, and then it comes a stage that the people may doubt about it. But when you come to the Baha'i writings, there are quite different understanding of the role of religion, and also understanding that religion has to be changed, be adapted to the time, and be fresh. Mankind needs a fresh revelation to revivify his soul and uplift him. So this is the first question, because when we use the word religion, a little bit confusing. Some people have not a very accurate concept of religion. What does it mean? Because when we say religion, they see what is around them in the name of religion. So maybe they are right, some negative attitude they have, because they have something they have seen in the name religion, they don't like it. But from Baha'i point of view, completely different definition we have of a religion, because we say divine revelations are continuous and progressive. It means...
Continuous from one religion to the next, from one age to the next?
It means the essence of religion the same, but continuous means something new added to it. For example, if you go study mathematics in year 7, then you go study mathematics in year 8, it means you go further more of that subject. So this is something more we need, and refresh our mind, our soul. Because of that, the prophets have come. Baha'i point says that Baha'i prophets has come, and they will come in the future as well, because they are mediator between the invisible world and visible world, and they transfer that spiritual energies from the higher reservoir into the this visible world. And that is the reason that prophets usually, they mostly, we know their biography, they were illiterate and no power behind them, and all forces against them, they were alone, and they rose, and they were they said they are entrusted a message, and ultimately they conquered, they became victorious. They see that there is something beyond that that could help them. On the other hand, how is it possible a person come, not have no schooling, and all the powers against him, and ultimately, centuries after centuries, he can influence the world? So this is something beyond this physical exist. And actually, the existence of prophets proves invisible world. That invisible world exists, actually. On the other hand, from the logic point of view, it's not possible. But anyhow, since we go back to your question.
Yes, about how can we prepare?
Yes, how to prepare ourselves. You know, when the baby is in the womb of the mother, the baby has to develop some physical senses on limbs or organs he needs in this world. For example, to develop eyes, ears, many things. So when the baby is in the womb of the mother, doesn't really feel the vitality and necessity and significance of these organs. And but when he or she is born into this world, then realize if the eyes has not been developed properly, he or she has problem. If the ears has not been developed properly, he or she has problem. The same way, there are some spiritual qualities which is needed for the next world, because the next world is spiritual world. We need to have to develop those spiritual qualities that we need the next world. If we do not develop that spiritual qualities, when we enter into next world, then we see we have problem. We cannot be adapted to the higher realms. Because in the Baha'i writing, it says that the higher realms is a world of purity. So the people should be purified. Their heart should be pure, their mind should be pure, their intention to be pure, their actions to be pure, their service to be pure. This purity is very important to develop. If they carry some dirtiness with themselves to the next world, then they have problem, because it's not suitable for the next world. And the next world is the world of light. So therefore, the people should be illumined, enlightened. So when they become enlightened, they will become suitable for that atmosphere, higher realms. So the next world is the world of love. So the people have to develop the love of God, the love of human beings. So there are certain qualities we need for the next world, so we have to prepare ourselves. And the only that messenger of God or manifestation of God, they can tell us how to prepare ourselves. Because, as I said, they pass this border and go to the next world and to see and what is needed, and they come us and give us some teachings and training, how to be disciplined, how to be prepared, how to be purified for the higher realms.
Can you perhaps share with us some words from Baha'u'llah about the soul or about
Now, just a few words from Baha'u'llah, because Baha'u'llah has revealed over 100 books. I cannot share all of these 100 books. A few sentences. For example, about the soul, he says, the human soul is, in its essence, one of the signs of God, a mystery among his mysteries. It is one of the mighty signs of the Almighty, a harbinger that proclaims the reality of all the words of God. Within it lies concealed that which the world is now utterly incapable of apprehending. Also, as you asked me about the higher realms, also another quotation from him, from Baha'u'llah, he said, "The words of God are countless in their number and infinite in their range. Countless, consider thy state when asleep. This phenomenon is the most mysterious of the signs of God amongst men. This latter would have no beginning and no end. It would be true if there was to contend this same world is within thy proper self and is wrapped up within thee. It would equally be true to maintain that thy spirit been made to transfer a realm which lies hidden in the innermost reality of the world." This was, you know, two quotations from Baha'u'llah himself. One was about the soul, and one was the about the higher realms. It's very interesting what he says. He says that the worlds of God are countless in their number and infinite in their range. This is very interesting that he says that. And also he said, he gave example that to sleep, that dream, that is a world, another world, and is in, has no beginning and no end. So that's another point he says. And also what he says, that if you say that you, this higher realms is wrapped up within you, actually, it will be unfolded. That's true. Or if you maintain that thy spirit been made to transfer a realm which lies hidden in the innermost reality of the world. Very beautiful. Hidden in the innermost reality of the world is there. So he transfer. Both description is quite right. It's two ways you say that. Both is true, what you say.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening, and I hope you will come back and speak with us again.
Thank you very much that you gave me this opportunity to share some of my understanding and also studies from the Baha'i writings about the higher realms, because the Baha'i writing is very rich in this point, because though all the religions believe in the higher realms, but they have not much explanations. But it doesn't necessarily mean they didn't know, but rather the people, the world was not ready to receive it. Because when manifestation of God talks, it talks according to the capacity of the time. So sometimes they, for example, Jesus Christ say, "I have many things to tell you now, but you cannot comprehend them." So it means, it doesn't mean that whatever he said, that's all he knew. So this one point. So when I say Baha'i writing is very rich, I am not going to deny that they didn't know. So they knew, but the time was not ripe. So Baha'u'llah much rich. It is very richer in this field. And the Baha'i writing says that comes a day that the Baha'i writings on the higher realms and the next world and the immortality of the spirit will be taught in all these universities throughout the world, because it's very rich and can help us a better understanding. And it's very important we think about the higher realms, because if, you know, those who have this experience of the near-death experience they had, one thing which has happened, it has a great influence, impact on their transformation. They totally, their way of life changed. They totally, their outlook changed, because they see something completely different. So that is the reason, not just we come in the moment of dying, then we realize we are the loser. We must be for that time to think about the higher realms, to understand it, and that has a great influence, the way of life and how we should be prepared for the next world. Thank you.
Mr. Jamshid Fanayan, thank you very much. for coming in and speaking with us, and thanks to our engineer and from all of us here at Lincoln Books.